This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
Anyone who's worked in the food service industry will tell you that it's laden with sexist behaviors. While many employees express frustrations to family or friends, the feminist blog Fed Up Yegg created an outlet to hold restaurants accountable. Launched by University of Alberta students Tempo Sabatier and Kira Burro, the Feminist Eatery Database Undercover Project is putting pressure on restaurants and cafes by highlighting their sexist and discriminatory practices. Here to talk more about Fed Up is one of the blog's creators, Kira Burro. She joins me by phone this morning from Edmonton. Hello, Kira.
Hello.
So what motivated you to start the Fed Up blog?
Well, originally it started as a class project for our Women and Gender Studies class taught by Professor Stasia at the University of Alberta. Instead of taking a more academic approach, such as writing a research paper based off of the stuff that we're learning in class, we had to do a social media intervention, which basically included any sort of social activism regarding feminism on a socially accessible platform such as Twitter or a blog. And the idea for our project specifically came from a lecture that we had in our class on workplace inequality. And a bunch of the women in our class were actually sharing stories of their personal experiences in the service industry, like horror stories regarding how they had been abused or harassed by their management for the type of clothes they were wearing, for having dyed their hair without permission, all these various sort of awful stories. And we decided that it wasn't really something that has ever been brought into the public eye, which is why we started a blog that is publicly accessible for people to submit their stories to.
How do people go about doing that? How do they report sexist things that happen to them or sexist establishments?
Well, if you visit our website, fedupyeg.wordpress.com, there's actually several different surveys that you can fill out, either as a customer, an employee, or even as an employer. If you're in a management position and would like to stand up for your establishment or discuss the various ways in which you seek to decrease sexism in your specific establishment. And what really actually took off is when we opened it up to previous employees, because, again, I don't think anyone has ever really discussed it in a public manner. No one's really been able to vent about it in such a public sphere.
Are there features in your patron survey that point people towards things that they might want to talk about?
For our employee survey, it's very much just what is your establishment and what is your story? Like, what do you want to tell us? For the one that speaks to customers specifically, there is a variety of questions that are available, but there's also a lot of space to elaborate. So we just kind of wanted to address as many different aspects of discrimination in the service industry as we could. We've had some comments on how several of our questions may appear to be leading, but that's also why we include spaces to elaborate in case people aren't comfortable answering questions they feel are specifically directed to a certain outcome, which we do strive to neutralize.
What are some of the common experiences that you've found in the testimonial section?
A lot of people, there's definitely been a lot of people that have complained about the dress code specifically, and I just want to make very clear that we're like not against dress codes just from the base level, because obviously you want the people working at your restaurant to show a certain status of professionalism, like you want to be clean and hygienic and look well put together, but there's a lot of stuff that happens off the books that isn't specified in the dress code. So for instance, if you're working at like a family diner or like a family-friendly restaurant, there's a lot of experiences of people being actively harassed by their managers off the scene, sort of behind sort of closed doors, to, you know, wear more makeup or wear shorter skirts or wear higher heels, or people literally being sent home or threatened with less shifts for not wearing the appropriate clothing, and clothing that isn't specified in the dress code. So it's not necessarily just people sexualizing themselves in the industry at all, because obviously you see places such as Hooters, for example, where there's a very high degree of sexualization. But women that enter those sort of jobs know exactly what they're getting into and make that choice. But when that choice is taken away from the employee themselves and they have no agency, that's where we're getting into the issues of workplace harassment. And that's something that we've seen a lot.
Do people talk about harassment from customers or harassment from staff, like direct sexual harassment?
Yes, there's been some recounts of that, actually, which is really unfortunate to hear. It's actually quite heavy reading, going through all the personal testimonies of people that haven't actually yet had the opportunity to share their issues of sexual harassment. There's definitely been some stories about the management, and there's also been some horror stories regarding the way customers treat the employees and the way that sort of behavior is sort of encouraged to be accepted. Like, managers will specifically tell employees to flirt with certain customers because they're regulars and you don't want to lose their business. And this happens especially at higher end restaurants, is what is a trend that we've been seeing. So they're not at all exempt from this sort of disgusting behavior.
Now, another thing that happens in restaurants, I actually spent 7 years working in restaurants, so I have a little bit of a backstory to this myself personally, but there's quite a gendered division of labor. Did people talk about that?
Yes, actually. We've had a multitude of male submissions as well, actually, which is quite interesting because, for instance, like, they would go into a job interview and the manager would specifically tell them, nope, like, we're not going to hire you because you're not an attractive female server. Sorry, like, we're not looking for your demographic right now, which is incredibly awful. They're also not getting shifts in the lounge. There's lots of, which is where you make more money, but that's also where, like, in lots of establishments, you see only women working in the lounge. And it's quite a clear division. Or only male bartenders because they're not allowed to work as servers. And, like, you see that even in job descriptions. Like, recently, on an ad on the website Kijiji, from one establishment in Edmonton, they had specifically requested only male bartenders and only female servers, which actually is a violation of the charter to gender work that way. And it's just not many establishments are as vividly outspoken about that, but it's very much something that is just perpetuated regardless.
Have any of the establishments that got poor ratings reached out to your group or commented on your blog in any way?
Yes, we've actually had several people in management positions email us and ask to do, for instance, like a live Twitter chat about the sort of stuff that we've been talking about. There hasn't been any real backlash. There's been some managers that have of locally owned restaurants that have submitted testimony talking about how they really strive to be accountable to the people they employ and to create such safe spaces so their workers aren't feeling taken advantage of and that kind of stuff, which is awesome because we also obviously really want to focus on the positive aspects. And whenever we tweet out a positive review of a restaurant, their Twitter often either retweets it or favors it or says, like, oh, that's so awesome, so happy to hear that. But whenever there's more of a direct critique, it's very often avoided or either discussed privately more than anything on, like, a public sphere.
Sounds like people are reading it.
Yeah, definitely, which is awesome.
What are some ways to improve working conditions in the food service industry? Do you think, you've heard about all these problems, what do you think's the answer to start addressing them?
I think that management just needs to be more accountable to their employees. Again, like, huge corporations often very easily get away with the way they treat their workers just because they have so much power, and that shift in power dynamic is often abused. And so I think either closer monitoring of the way that managers treat their employees or hiring practices, I think what we've created is already a pretty big step, just people being able to discuss this in a public sphere as opposed to keeping it sort of like a private workplace issue where they're often scared to stand up to their managers or any sort of person in the position of power because they're scared that they're going to get fired and won't be able to support themselves. So just creating that discussion, I feel, has already sort of catalyzed change. I've heard stories from my friends who've worked at higher-end restaurants who actually recently had meetings staff meetings where their managers were like, oh, we just want to make very clear that you're actually allowed to wear longer skirts if you want. And, like, I don't know if that's a direct outcome of our project. I think we can probably accredit it to that, which is awesome. But again, just creating this public discussion, making it an issue that is very much at the forefront of people's minds, and just emphasizing socially conscious consumerism so that people that aren't even working in the industry can choose where to bring their business based off of the ethics of the hiring and working practices that managers and those specific establishments have in place.
Now, you started it as a school project. Do you plan to keep it going?
Yes. I think we are. It's definitely a lot of work just because of the amount of traction that we've gotten online and the amount of submissions that are still flooding in on a daily basis. And our class, I mean, our last day of semester was actually a couple of days ago, and the class project was due like 2 weeks ago. So we've been doing our best to keep it up. We'll see how it goes over the summer. And if we do end up sort of being more busy with other things or not being able to commit to the project as much as we would like to, either we'll recruit other people to sort of take over, or we'll freeze the site so that it'll still be, all the information will still be publicly accessible, but we'll just stop posting new testimonies and stop actively replying to people.
Sounds as though you've had a lot of impact there.
Yeah, I'm really, really pleased with how it's taken off. It's been a wild ride.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me this morning, Kira.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Kira Burrow about her feminist blog, Fed Up.